Ever wondered how a home inspector could transform into the owner of a thriving mountain retreat? Join us as Greg Spencer reveals his incredible journey from Portland to Blue Ridge, sharing the secrets behind his success, the challenges he overcame, and his vision for the future. All that and more on today's episode of The Marketing Madman.
They say marketing is a madman's game. So now we turn it over to The Marketing Madman with Nick Constantino and Trip Job.
Happy Saturday and welcome to The Marketing Madman. Nick Constantino here. And before we start, everybody take a deep breath. We're going to transport you to the mountains, right along the river base, where the Blue Ridge Mountains, the bases of the Smoky Mountains, and we're going to talk about the mountains. It is one of my favorite places on earth, and I think anybody that can't escape to the mountains and see what it feels like and how much different life changes from being in the city, go do it and learn to relax, because that is one place where you can absolutely relax. So to help me on my guest, I have Greg Spencer here, who's the owner of Tocoa House Properties in Blue Ridge, and we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. But Greg, how you doing, bud?
I'm great. This is a super spot here. Love being in the Battery. Love digging the energy.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. Been very well received and taken care of by your staff here. So
good.
Thank you.
Good. It's good to have. And let's start there. So you grew up with a love of sports. You've been a longtime listener of 680 The Fan, our sister station. You know a bunch of the guys out there. Let's talk about that upbringing in sports. And I bet you it's going to make its way through a lot of what we talk about. So why don't you start with that?
Okay, well, I was one of those kids where if there was a ball around, I was playing with it. Came from Portland, Oregon, had a great neighborhood. We would play wiffle ball, football, basketball, baseball, everything.
Yeah. Parents would just let you run out. There was nothing to keep track of. It was the sun come down, get your little booty home. That's the end of the conversation.
Yeah. Come in for dinner at 6 o'clock, and then summertime, we'd eat dinner and go back out and play some more. So it was just me and my brother, but we had a lot of neighborhood kids, and we had a lot of fun. My brother was the stud in the family. He was All-State catcher, defensive back, scholarships to college, and ended up being a football coach his whole life. He's retired and lives in Bend, Oregon now. But
you're talking about the high desert there. That's a wonderful place.
Yeah, it's when we were sweating a couple weeks ago. I said, "Hey, bro, what's the nightly temperature there?" He said, "Oh, about mid 40s." So, yeah, it's great when it's not on fire.
Yeah, yeah, that's why high desert is dry.
He had a great career. He coached it. He's one of the only guys that coached at two or more academies. He coached at Navy with Paul Johnson, came with Paul Johnson to Tech.
Wow.
Was there 5 years, and then got recruited by Jeff Monken to Army. And then now he coaches Bend High School football for $500 a year.
That's a different, that's a change. And ironically, just 4 months ago, I played golf with Jeff Monken, the coach of Army. So how funny things work. But he was a wonderful person.
I
was a little worried because the way this worked, we draft all these college coaches, and like Spurrier was there at Urban Meyer. We had one of the last picks. So we got Monken. I think most people were like, oh no, can I drink a beer in front of this guy? You know, it's the coach of Army. But he was a blast. And the best part is he was worse than I was. And our candy handicaps were so high that we won the whole thing on net score. So, and he gave me his Army, his coin, which was really awesome. So I had a great time with him speaking.
It's going to a game is really special.
Yep.
My brother was at Navy right after 9/11.
Wow.
Talk about patriotism.
Wow.
That was fabulous. And, you know, West Point's awesome.
Yep.
And
I've been many times. We used to go once a year from New York City. We used to take the ride to go once a year to an Army game. Army-Navy is something altogether different, though. That is as cool of an experience as there is in sports. So talk about you were a hockey guy.
Yeah, I was, there was a ice rink near where we lived, and I started out, you know, when I was like 10, skating with my girlfriend on Friday night, date skate, and I don't know, I just was pretty good at it.
Yeah.
I was pretty coordinated anyway, but I love to skate. I'm right-handed, but I played left wing, and Doug Messier, who played then, he's still alive. For the Portland Buckaroos.
The Portland Buckaroos. Not a name I've ever heard before. I got to look that one up. That's probably an interesting story.
So Doug Messier would haul us kids, I guess I was 12 or 14 or something, to all these Canadian destinations. including Edmonton.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And his one of his kids was Mark Messier.
There
I don't
you
know
go.
If you've heard of him
I
or not.
I might have. But, I might have probably a top five player of all time.
Yeah, it's weird to see. Like, I was really into the Florida-Edmonton series, of course. Okay. And he'd be in there up on ESPN talking. I'm going, that's the kid that sat in the front seat behind Daddy and thought his thought he was, like, entitled or something.
Yeah.
But I think he
must have,
like,
worked out somehow.
But that was a blast, and we got to travel, and we learned to say A.
Yeah.
What's that, a boot, A?
I love that. Is I haven't spent a ton of time there, but the Vancouver, Victoria part of Canada is my favorite part of Canada by far. It is gorgeous up there.
It is otherworldly. I would agree. So yeah, that was great. Like I say, my brother was the stud athlete. I was more of an academic and, you know, leadership kind of guy.
Yeah.
But we're happy. We're still.
You know, I wish more people played hockey. And the reason is that, so I used to ice skate all the time. Never played hockey, but was a huge ice skater. We'd go 4 days a week. And it's nothing like it. You could sprint. You can play any sport. If you go on ice skates and go full speed, the muscles that are sore are so different.
Yeah.
The body,
yeah.
The way your hip flexors work. And I cannot imagine that to be a bad thing to have for other sports. I think I became an athlete when I started ice skating. All the other things I got better at. Lateral movement, everything. I just wish there was more people out there ice skating, because anytime your body can do a different movement, it's better for everything. And I think we look at sports wrong altogether. We're trying to make kids specialize versus playing a little bit of everything, but that's
a
different story.
I agree, and it's when I moved to the South, it's kind of hard to find a frozen pond around here. So I put on some rollerblades.
Yeah.
And I lived two blocks from Piedmont Park and the Beltline, and when the Beltline came along, the smoothest track on the planet, I thought, I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, I'd go out skate 10 miles and back.
It's cool.
And so.
It's cool. I like roller skating. I rollerblade with my daughter, but there's something about ice skating and the ability to go the way you can go side to side and skate out. Like once you get control of ice skates, it's unbelievable what you can do with them. So anyway, so we already went down a rabbit hole. So let's leave this rabbit hole and let's talk a little bit about the property, because the story of how you ended up moving in here and getting this property and starting this all is crazy. So we're talking about Toccoa River. We're talking about Blue Ridge. Talk about your property. Talk about how you got it. And let's bring us up to speed, because there's a lot to cover there.
So, there is a lot to cover. I came to Atlanta right out of grad school. First job. It was fine. Liked being able to walk
fine.
The restaurant.
There's definitely air quotes for NC. Fine.
But I, you know, it was really cool. This kid from Oregon, downtown Atlanta, Virginia Highlands, you know, walking to restaurants and bars and, you know, whoa, work was awesome. And but I just felt claustrophobic, and I needed my mountains and my rivers and my camping and paddling and biking and all that. And so I would go north. I'd go through Clayton and Dahlonega and Blue Ridge.
Yep.
And I thought, man, this is a pretty cool town.
Yeah.
And this was 30 plus years ago, late 80s, early 90s. And I don't know. I started looking around and planted my flag, as I say, for $500 down and a 10-year mortgage on a piece of land from a seller, and built. We were off-grid then. We didn't have electricity until the late 90s, which I actually brought from across the river in Mineral Bluff.
Easy process.
No.
Like, it's not just like you ran a power line across the thing.
No,
like,
no,
you're drilling, you're going under, there's rivers, there's permits. They're not easy to work with. Georgia Power, it's remote, so you're pulling it to begin with. So there's a lot that goes into that.
So initially, I just wanted a place to lock up my gear, my bike.
Sure.
And, I don't know, one thing led to another. I built a cabin that actually envisioned it as a B&B, not an Airbnb. This is way before then.
Yeah, the old school bed and breakfast.
Yeah, and
with the creepy dolls all over the place. I don't know why I always feel like that. There's always a creepy doll at every B&B I've ever stayed at.
Well, it never operated as a B&B because it became very popular as a big house.
Yeah.
We can accommodate 14 people. There's a huge great room that's 32 by 32.
Cool.
28 feet tall.
Cool.
It's like a sanctuary or something. Big table.
And anybody that's been in the mountains knows how important that is, because there's not a lot of places to go when you're in the mountains. It's about being in the mountain, being on property. The second it's nighttime, unless you got an ATV with a light, and I've gotten lost many times in those mountains, so don't do that. But that communal area where a bunch of people can stay and be together,
exactly.
The drinks start pouring, weird stuff starts happening, but you need that in the mountains.
Need covered decks too. Rain is not exactly great when you're trying to grill some steaks.
Yeah. And rain's different in the mountains. It comes in lightning fast and comes in sideways.
Always comes from Alabama.
Freaking Bama. Everything. Blame them for everything. So easy.
Nick Saban is such
an easy target. Just blame Alabama.
Sorry, you Alabama friends out there.
Nah, that's fine. We don't have to apologize. All right, so you set this place up. You went from one. You know, I don't want to fast forward it, but just tell what are you at now? Because the place is...
We have 6 cabins. We have an event space. So we do a lot of weddings and events and business meetings. Love to have you all come up and see us sometime.
Cool.
But it's a recreation destination is what we call it, because... It's a big hunk of land. It's 17 acres, which, like I say, I bought 2.5 acres for $500 down in a mortgage. And then, you know, just I'm not that guy that goes out and buys a fancy sports car.
Yeah.
I buy another hunk of land.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just always loved to build. Since I was a home inspector, I sort of knew my way around, and I was energetic, and, you know, I just can't sit still. So, built everything.
Love it. Love it. And I brought you there because we're going to talk about the middle part in the next segment, because how marketing goes into that, the business acumen, the inspector, how that all built to what the property is. Because, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, this country is searching for instant gratification, and they think these things just happen overnight, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're going to buy a pile of land, you're going to build this thing. That's not how anything works. And if you do it that way, you will never be as invested as you were in this process. When we come back from the break, we're going to give some practical advice to people. We're going to talk how we're marketing luxury. We're going to talk about all the good stuff that got us here. You've been listening to The Marketing Madman on Extra 106.3, and we'll be right back.
Now back to The Marketing Madman on Extra 106.3 FM.
Welcome back to The Marketing Madman on Extra 106.3. Nick Constantino here with Greg Spencer of Tocoa House Properties. And what we're going to do is we're going to play another hypothetical game here. So let's get back to our Zen place. So we're in the mountains, we're relaxing, you're on your chair. And I'm going to give you, I was going to say five, let's say $10 million. And I'm going to say, I want you to build your dream property. And I want it to be something that is meaningful to the community and to the people who seek to be tourists there. Okay? I want you to tell me how you would start, where you would build it, what you would put into the design process, who the customer is. And we're going to have kind of a fake marketing conversation as to how we would attract people to said property.
Well, I'm super conflicted because... You know, I'm a Northwest guy, Oregon Ducks, Washington Huskies. But when I came to Atlanta, like I said earlier in our previous segment, Atlanta was cool. I was 24. It didn't check all the boxes.
Sure.
When I found Blue Ridge, and I was working, I was making good money running a home inspection firm in Atlanta, but I could spend whatever amount of time I wanted in Blue Ridge, more and more and more and more. Blue Ridge became my home.
Yeah.
And so could I ever think about leaving? Whew, that's a tough one. And if I did, where would I go?
I do want to say one thing. So I grew up in New York City, and my parents lived in Long Island, and the hour and a half that it takes to get to Blue Ridge is what most people commute in New York every day.
Yeah.
So, like, we're a little spoiled in the sense here that, like, you're taking an hour and a half, and that's what it takes to get up there. That is what a lot of people in this country take for L.A., you're taking an hour and a half to commute 10 miles in L.A. So Blue Ridge is an extension of Atlanta, and it is somewhere you can escape for a long weekend, which makes it home. I mean, we don't have to say, like, it's just resort that's 5 hours away. That's what people love about the mountains. I'm a beach guy first and foremost, but 5 hours and an hour and a half are very different times to drive. So hopefully I bought you some time so you can get your conflict out and pick where we're building this thing.
Well, Dale, let me just to give you the other side of it is, you know, I've always loved the mountains of Oregon and Washington.
Yeah.
I went to college and grad school, Eastern Washington. I love that too. You know, snow on the ground, two feet of snow all winter. I guess if I had to leave, let's leave.
Yep.
Let's say, okay, you're Blue Ridge has closed down and you're out of business and you got to leave the state. I guess I would go to the west of the mountain range of Oregon.
Love it.
Sort of beachy.
Love it.
West side of Mount Hood.
Good wine up there.
Yeah, we used to play baseball in Willamette Valley, and that's like the world's best Pinots.
Love it.
And, you know, we're just baseball fields.
So I love it.
So anyway, okay, we're going to the west side of Mount Hood and buying a 50-acre property.
Okay. Are we talking on the beach? Are we talking a couple miles
from
the beach?
No, not on the beach. Okay. The beach is like, I don't know anybody that's ever been to the Oregon coast in July. It's about 50 degrees, and so it's cold. So up a little higher with better views.
Okay.
Bigger than, 17 acres is a good hunk on the Toccoa, but it's not 100 acres.
Yeah.
So I'd buy 100 acres, great views, and do what I've done, but more intentional, more purposeful, more directed. I mean, I'm no spring chicken. I used to say I was in the fourth quarter. Now I say I'm in overtime. But so I think I've got a plan for that. Development. I didn't develop this Toccoa house property.
Sure, but what about style of the houses? Would it be the similar? Would you do something
similar
different?
Similar but modern. Okay. I mean, people don't like well, not everybody, but the 2000s and 1990s design in Blue Ridge is not very open. It's a lot of wood. People like mixed materials.
Yeah.
So it'd be that. You ever watch Yellowstone?
Yeah.
It'd be Yellowstone.
Okay. But you don't have the big open grass field, so we're just kind of transporting it, but I get it.
Yeah, and I'd get Rip to be my manager.
There you go.
And
you chase all those cattle away if you need to.
But, so we have disc golf at Toccoa House Properties.
Cool.
We don't have golf. And, you know, be nice to have a decent golf course, even a putting kind of thing. So, I don't know, golf, swimming, paddling.
Love it.
Pickleball, got to play pickleball.
Love it.
And we haven't talked about that, but I've had a total knee replacement a year ago, and my basketball career was over. But I love to play pickleball, and it keeps me very fit. And I don't, I don't need the knee anymore.
That's great. Do you think pickleball is... I don't want to say the word fad, but I've already seen some things like where these leagues have already merged six times over, and some of these facilities they're making already going out of business because everyone jumped on the hype train, built way too much. Do you see it as a fad, or do you see it as something that's going to continue onward in the lexicon?
I see it something that will continue on because there's a lot of folks like me that we just can't do a slam dunk anymore.
Yeah. Tennis is bad on the knees also. You move around a lot.
Even tennis. I played a lot of tennis, but I just... the body breaks down, but I can play pickleball 4 days a week for 2.5-3 hours a day. It's social.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're pushing. I want to have tournaments on Toccoa House Properties where people can come and
stay.
Cool
idea.
We got 23 bedrooms, book a weekend. We're having a tournament.
It's cool.
680 the Fan pickleball
Love
tournament.
It.
So I don't know. I sort of got off topic, but
that's okay.
That the thing about where would you go, what would you build, what would you design, makes my head spin.
Yeah,
because like I said, I just I advise people that are going to build on a vacant piece of land, just sit there,
Love it.
At it. It'll come to you. Don't stress about it.
It'll come to you if you want it to. If you're going to sit there and just fight yourself, you're never going to do it. What I would do is I think that golf is too stuffy and it's starting down the path of being less stuffy. I want a outdoor, under the lights, 9-hole golf course with a stage in the front of it where bands can come and play, and then there are speakers all through the course so you can hear the bands play as you go and play nighttime golf. Wow. You would need rangers because you have to keep the pace up, because now that I've started really playing golf, nothing worse than some ass in front of you taking too long to play. But I think there is a huge demand for 9 p.m. golf to 11:30 golf, and I think it would be as big as Topgolf at all these places. And I think you can design a course that would be able to do that, and it could be an hour from here and people would still go.
We haven't even talked about music.
Let's do some music.
I started playing guitar when I was 12, played in a high school band. I was the second best guitar player in my high school band.
There you
so
go.
They made me play bass, and that I wasn't happy about that. So, yeah, quit the band, played acoustic in college and stuff. But
Who are your musical influences then?
Everybody in the Americana genre.
Okay.
I could go on and on and on.
Please name some.
I like Zydeco. Okay. You know, and somebody said, I manage the Blues and Barbecue Fest, the music on that and the stage. And
Zydeco with the big slide, like the shutter looking
things. Accordion, And, you know, somebody said, well, this is a blues festival. Why you got some Zydeco guy? And Zydeco's the original blues, Cajun.
Yeah, Cajun.
So who are my influences? I mean, a lot of those California, Jackson Browne.
Cool.
Like John Prine. I really could go on and on because I'm eclectic.
Okay.
I listen to music a lot. I watch YouTube videos almost every day.
Good for you.
And I was never a great musician, but I love it. And so what I do in Blue Ridge is I give back because I do a lot of music. I produce music shows.
That's great.
Also volunteerism. We haven't talked about that either. I'm on the board for Snack and Backpack. We've fed over 1 million kids in the last 10 years, Freedom for Fido, we get dogs off chains and build fences. So,
love it.
You know, at this point, I sold my inspection business.
Yeah.
I didn't mention that. 2019, never looked back.
Yeah.
People thought I would, but never looked back. I made good money and don't, you know, I'm doing this Tocoa House thing.
Yeah.
I can't say just for fun because I don't have, you know, I'm not Bill Gates or Warren Buffett.
But you're enjoying it.
I'm enjoying it.
You're doing
it.
A lot of different things that keep you busy, keep you young, that you're enjoying. And it sounds like everyone's digging the vibe and you're impacting a lot of people.
You know what people like is that when I'm riding around on my Kawasaki mule doing some cleaning the pool or whatever, and I see them checking in, I'll pull in and say, how you doing? Who are you? I'm Greg. Oh, you're the one that I've been talking to. Hey, good to see you. Anything I can do? You got the code? You need to.
But that's exactly like the inspecting business, right?
Yeah.
They're not expecting it to be that kind of kind of thing. And once you look, one thing I will say right now, people's expectations are so freaking low. Like, we're in a world right now where no one is trying to be the best. They're just trying to be better than the other people. And that's despicable. So when you can exceed people's expectations, and it sounds like what you've humbly been trying to do is exceed the expectations of what people have by being more vocal, being out there, trying to care about them, not making about the money, following passion. And I think that is incredibly commendable. Again, I commend you. Give one more shout out to how people found Tocoa House before we wrap up.
Well, they can call me, Google Greg Spencer Blue Ridge or Tocoa House Blue Ridge, and boom, I pop up.
Make sure you ask him his favorite Zydeco band.
My cell phone's on the website. I do have a 24-year-old operations manager who happens to be my grandson, and he's awesome.
Good.
Used to stay up all night, 13, playing video games, and we thought, what a loser. You know, and now he's like this amazing kid. And
crazy how that
smart.
Crazy how that works. It's probably because he had a good influence on him from you.
But people don't think, they think I'm like the maintenance guy.
Yeah.
And they don't think I'm like both feet planted, and they go, well, how many of these cabins do you own?
Whole thing, baby.
Really?
Well, that's as good
and
of a way.
And you're here talking to me?
That's as good of a way to end it as anything. So, Greg, thank you, bud. You've been listening to Market Madman on Extra 106.3, and we will catch you next week.
You're great, Nick.
Now back to the Marketing Madmen on Extra 106.3 FM.
Welcome back to the Marketing Madmen on Extra 106.3. Nick Constantino here with Greg Spencer of Tocoa House Properties. And what we're going to do is we're going to play another hypothetical game here. So let's get back to our Zen place. So we're in the mounds, we're relaxing, you're on your chair. And I'm going to give you I was going to say five. Let's say $10 million. And I'm going to say, I want you to build your dream property. And I want it to be something that is meaningful to the community and to the people who seek to be tourists there. Okay? I want you to tell me how you would start, where you would build it, what you would put into the design process, who the customer is. And we're going to have kind of a fake marketing conversation as to how we would attract people to said property.
Well, I'm super conflicted because, you know, I'm a Northwest guy, Oregon Ducks, Washington Huskies. But when I came to Atlanta, like I said earlier, our previous segment, Atlanta was cool. I was 24. It didn't check all the boxes.
Sure.
When I found Blue Ridge, and I was working, I was making good money running a home inspection firm in Atlanta, but I could spend whatever amount of time I wanted in Blue Ridge,
yep.
more and more and more and more. Blue Ridge became my home.
Yeah.
And so could I ever think about leaving? Whew, that's a tough one. And if I did, where would I go?
I do want to say one thing. So I grew up in New York City, and my parents lived in Long Island, and the hour and a half that it takes to get to Blue Ridge is what most people commute in New York every day.
Yeah.
So like we're a little spoiled in the sense here that like you're taking an hour and a half, and that's what it takes to get up there. That is what a lot of people in this country take for L.A. You're taking an hour and a half to commute 10 miles in L.A. So Blue Ridge is an extension of Atlanta, and it is somewhere you can escape for a long weekend, which makes it home. I mean, we don't have to say like it's this resort that's 5 hours away. That's what people love about the mountains. I'm a beach guy first and foremost, but 5 hours and an hour and a half are very different times to drive. So hopefully I bought you some time so you can get your conflict out and pick where we're building this thing.
Well, Dale, let me just to give you the other side of it is, you know, I've always loved the mountains of Oregon and Washington.
Yeah.
I went to college and grad school, Eastern Washington. I love that too. You know, snow on the ground, two feet of snow all winter. I guess if I had to leave, let's leave.
Yep.
Let's say, okay, Blue Ridge has closed down and you're out of business and you got to leave the state. I guess I would go to the west of the mountain range of Oregon.
Love it.
Sort of beachy.
Love it.
West side of Mount Hood.
Good wine up there.
Yeah, we used to play baseball in Willamette Valley, and that's like the world's best Pinots.
Love it.
And, you know, we're just baseball fields.
So I love it.
So anyway, okay, we're going to the west side of Mount Hood and buying a 50-acre property.
Okay. Are we talking on the beach? Are we talking a couple miles from the beach?
No, not on the beach. Okay. The beach is like, I don't know anybody that's ever been to the Oregon coast in July. It's about 50 degrees, and so it's cold. So up a little higher with better views.
Okay.
Bigger than, I mean, 17 acres is a good hunk on the Toccoa, but it's not 100 acres.
Yeah.
So I'd buy 100 acres, great views, and do what I've done, but more intentional, more purposeful, more directed. I mean, I'm no spring chicken. I used to say I was in the fourth quarter. Now I say I'm in overtime. But so I think I've got a plan for that. Development. I didn't develop this Toccoa house property.
Sure, but what about style of the houses? Would it be the similar? Would you do something
similar,
different?
Similar but modern. Okay. I mean, people don't like well, not everybody, but the 2000s and 1990s design in Blue Ridge is not very open. It's a lot of wood. People like mixed materials.
Yeah.
So it'd be that. You ever watch Yellowstone?
Yeah.
It'd be Yellowstone.
Okay. But you don't have the big open grass field, so we're just kind of transporting it, but I get it.
Yeah, and I'd get Rip to be my manager.
There you go.
And
you chase all those cattle away if you need to.
But, I mean, so we have disc golf at Toccoa House Properties.
Cool.
We don't have golf. And, you know, be nice to have a decent golf course, even a putting kind of thing. So, I mean, I don't know, golf, swimming, paddling.
Love it.
Pickleball, got to play pickleball.
Love it.
And we haven't talked about that, but I've had a total knee replacement a year ago, and my basketball career was over. But I love to play pickleball, and it keeps me very fit. And I don't, you know, I don't need the knee.
Yeah, anymore. That's great. Do you think pickleball is? I don't want to say the word fad, but I've already seen some things like where these leagues have already merged six times over, and some of these facilities that they're making already going out of business because everyone jumped on the hype train, built way too much. Do you see it as a fad, or do you see it as something that's going to continue onward in the lexicon?
I see it something that will continue on because there's a lot of folks like me that we just can't do a slam dunk anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Tennis is bad on the knees also. You move around a lot.
You know, even tennis. I played a lot of tennis, but I just – you know, the body breaks down, but I can play pickleball 4 days a week for 2.5-3 hours a day. It's social.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're pushing. I want to have tournaments on Sequoia House properties where people can come and
stay.
Cool idea. We got 23 bedrooms, you know, book a weekend. We're having a tournament.
It's cool.
680 the Fan pickleball
Love
tournament.
It.
So I don't know. I sort of got off topic, but
that's okay.
The thing about where would you go, what would you build, what would you design, makes my head spin.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I just, you know, I advise people that are going to build on a vacant piece of land, just sit there.
Yeah.
Just sit there and
Love
look
it.
At it. It'll come to you. Don't stress about it.
It'll come to you if you want it to. If you're going to sit there and just fight yourself, you're never going to do it. What I would do is I think that golf is too stuffy and it's starting down the path of being less stuffy. I want a outdoor, under the lights, 9-hole golf course with a stage in the front of it where bands can come and play, and then there are speakers all through the course so you can hear the bands play as you go and play nighttime golf.
Wow.
You would need rangers because you have to keep the pace up, because now that I've started really playing golf, nothing worse than some ass in front of you taking too long to play. But I think there is a huge demand for 9 p.m. golf to 11:30 golf, and I think it would be as big as Topgolf at all these places. And I think you can design a course that would be able to do that, and it could be an hour from here and people would still go.
We haven't even talked about music.
Let's do some music.
I started playing guitar when I was 12, played in a high school band. I was the second best guitar player in my high school band.
There you
so
go.
They made me play bass, and that I wasn't happy about that. So, yeah, quit the band, played acoustic in college and stuff. But
who are your musical influences then?
Everybody in the Americana genre.
Okay.
I could go on and on and on.
Please
and
name
on.
Some.
I like Zydeco.
Okay.
You know, and somebody said, I manage the Blues and Barbecue Fest, the
okay,
music on
cool.
that and the stage. And
Zydeco's with the big slide, like the shutter
yeah,
looking things.
Accordion,
yeah, accordion. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, somebody said, well, this is a blues festival. Why are you got some Zydeco guy? And Zydeco's the original blues, Cajun.
Yeah Cajun.
So who are my influences? I mean, a lot of those California, Jackson Brown.
Cool.
Like John Prine. I really could go on and on because I'm eclectic.
Okay.
I listen to music a lot. I watch YouTube videos
cool.
almost every day.
Good for you.
And I was never a great musician, but I love it. And so what I do in Blue Ridge is I give back because I do a lot of music. I produce music shows.
That's great.
Also volunteerism. We haven't talked about that either. I'm on the board for Snack and Backpack. We've fed over 1 million kids in the last 10 years, freedom for Fido. We get dogs off chains and build fences. So,
love it.
You know, at this point, I sold my inspection business.
Yeah.
I didn't mention that. 2019, never looked back.
Yeah.
People thought I would, but never looked back. I made good money and don't, you know, I'm doing this Tacoa House thing.
Yeah.
I can't say just for fun because I don't have, you know, I'm not Bill Gates or Warren Buffett.
But you're enjoying it.
I'm enjoying it.
You're doing
it.
A lot of different things that keep you busy, keep you young, that you're enjoying. And it sounds like everyone's digging the vibe and you're impacting a lot of people.
You know what people like is that when I'm riding around on my Kawasaki mule doing some cleaning the pool or whatever, and I see them checking in, I'll pull in and say, how you doing? Who are you? I'm Greg. Oh, you're the one that I've been talking to. Hey, good to see you. Anything I can do, you got the code, you need need to.
But that's exactly like the inspecting business, right? Yeah. They're not expecting it to be that kind of kind of thing. And once you look, one thing I will say right now, people's expectations are so freaking low. Like, we're in a world right now where no one is trying to be the best. They're just trying to be better than the other people. And that's despicable. So when you can exceed people's expectations, and it sounds like what you've humbly been trying to do is exceed the expectations of what people have by being more vocal, being out there, trying to care about them, not making about the money, following passion. And I think that is incredibly commendable. Again, I commend you. Give one more shout out of how people found Tocoa House before we wrap up.
Well, they can call me, Google Greg Spencer Blue Ridge or Tocoa House Blue Ridge, and boom, I pop up.
Make sure you ask him his favorite Zydeco band.
My cell phone's on the website. I do have a 24-year-old operations manager who happens to be my grandson, and he's awesome.
Good.
Used to stay up all night, 13, playing video games, and we thought, what a loser. You know, and now he's like this amazing kid. And
crazy how that
smart.
Crazy how that works. It's probably because he had a good influence on him from you.
But people don't think, they think I'm like the maintenance guy.
Yeah.
And they don't think I'm like both feet planted, and they go, well, how many of these cabins do you own?
Whole thing, baby. Really? Well, that's as good
and
of a way.
And you're here talking to me?
That's as good of a way to end it as anything. So, Greg, thank you, bud. You've been listening to The Market Madman on Extra 106.3, and we will catch you next week.
You're great, Nick.